How many of you need the Lord? All of our hands go up, right? Exactly. How about a different challenge, though, and something bolder? Did you know that the Lord needs you? What, no response? The Lord needs you, all of you, all the time. Did you know that? Well, I'm telling you that this morning. You're going to hear about it more in the scriptures and through the sermon this morning. See, the thing of it is, when you look throughout scriptures, all throughout the Bible, you see what people are the ones that had a relationship with God and then were used by God for magnificent, awesome, tremendous works, awesome things that happened, miracles that took place. And the interesting thing is, we think about Jesus himself. Do you know that Jesus had absolutely no wealth? Nothing. Nothing was given to him from his father, Joseph. His father was a poor carpenter who died long before Jesus started his ministry at the age of 30. When Jesus was born, he borrowed a feeding trough. That's where they placed him in the what we call a manger. It was actually a feeding trough. Borrowed in the stable in a barn. Borrowed by some other people. No room at the inn. Jesus, whenever he was hungry, he ate from a fig tree. Or he would say, we have to feed these people. So in the process, somebody would donate bread or fish. And suddenly the people amongst him that were hungry, he fed them. And then he had some for himself. When he was tired, he borrowed a boat and slept in it, even through a storm. He owned nothing his entire life. The last thing that he ever had was that seamless robe that he had that the Roman soldiers gambled for at his death. Owned nothing. When he died, he was put into a borrowed tomb. Joseph of Arimathea gave him that tomb. I think the thing about Jesus that he understood is that he was here temporarily, but he also needed people to help him through his ministry. When he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, as you remember, borrowed. And when they asked, the disciples asked about taking that donkey, Jesus said, tell them the Lord needs it. So you see, throughout his history, throughout his life, those 30 years of his ministry, or the 3 years of his ministry, I should say, or his 30 years that he lived, Jesus owned nothing, but he gave us everything, right? Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. The spices that were put on him, the anointing oil that was placed upon him during his death and after his death, brought by women at the tomb and Nicodemus, a Pharisee. And so that brings me to this place to help us understand that that was really a picture of what the church would become in the future. A place where people would donate and give, and people would borrow one another's faith, one another's strength, one another's courage, one another's understanding of God, then bring forth those gifts that need to be used inside of the church, food and things of this nature, clothing, shoes, you name it, school supplies. All of those things were given by whom? All the people, all of us, all the time. And so Jesus created the church to be a place where people gave of themselves in return to help bring forth everything other people needed. See, it wasn't that Jesus needed all those things. He used those things to benefit others, did he not? Absolutely, absolutely. So that brings me to the scriptures this morning, Luke chapter 8. Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. That's what he came to do. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. A few verses that tell us a lot of things, I see. Jesus began his ministry, no means of support whatsoever, except for those people that he healed from diseases, cast out demons, people that were outcast themselves. Remember, in this culture, in this time that Jesus lived, women were property. Women didn't matter. Women were second-class citizens. But who does Jesus heal and cast the demons out and cause illnesses to leave their bodies? Women. And then the men were also there as well. Many of those men who were healed and restored, right? Those are the people Jesus gathered, the outcasts, the nobodies, the left-behind people. And what we see here is we see some names, short names in the Bible that maybe, you know, so often when you read the Bible, you go over the names, right? What do those names mean anyway? They're just people's names. Well, we're going to learn about these people's names this morning. First and foremost, we see about Mary Magdalene, right? A woman tormented and just had so many problems. Went to Jesus. And guess what? Problem solved. Pretty good, don't you think? So she decides to follow him. Out of her love for him, out of the fact that she became whole, she now wants to serve him and follow him as one of his disciples. And Jesus said, come on along. He didn't say, go back, you can't come join us. I only want the fishermen and the tax collectors and all the men to run things. No, you can come too. You can come too. And then we see Joanna. Now, she's the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager. Does anybody remember Herod? Herod was an evil man. Herod is the person that beheaded John the Baptist. This is the wife of his business manager. How does she end up, that one that's her husband's working for an evil man who's killing people, destroying people, just going against everything that God stands for, and yet his wife comes and follows Jesus? Don't you find that interesting? I do. God takes somebody from an evil, corrupted business and calls out that person and says, come follow me. And so Joanna, she essentially leaves her husband behind and decides to follow Jesus. And some of the other scriptures and some of the other aspects of the gospel tell us that she also was healed of many things. Have we all been healed of many things? Or is it just me? Okay, all right. And not just Joanna. Susanna, we don't hear much about her. She's a young woman as I studied. She was someone that had nowhere to be, no place to go. So she follows Jesus. But she's wealthy. How do I know that? It says they were contributing from their own resources, their own means of support, to support Jesus and his disciples. So isn't it cool how God takes a wealthy woman who's getting her money essentially from her husband who's serving an evil king. It's kind of like the Robin Hood story. Rob the rich, give it to the poor, in a way, right? Isn't it interesting that God can use anybody to serve? Isn't it miraculous that that's the way God set up his kingdom, to use ordinary people who just happened to be at the right place at the right time that God could use? And he didn't have any special qualifications for any of these people. And they chose out of their own hearts to be able to serve God and to support Jesus' ministry. So thus we call that tithes and offerings, right? In the church setting. Those of us that serve God in any capacity, some of us that have more wealth than others, we donate to the cause. What's the cause? The gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, that there's forgiveness of sin and eternal life for everybody and anybody. And anybody and everybody can follow Jesus and follow God into eternity. And everybody and anybody can serve God in any capacity. And in the process, you're also healed of all the stuff that bothered you before. Right? Or even during, right? These women watched Jesus perform miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And by the way, why I brought up Mark at the end of Mark, they were also there to bring the spices when Jesus died. They were also there, it says in Luke 40, Jesus' friend, including the women who had followed him, from Galilee stood at a distance watching. Watching what? His crucifixion. They were there to the very end with him, the end of his ministry. These very people that are mentioned in Luke chapter 8, 1 through 3, three short verses, are also following him throughout his ministry, and there they stand at the foot of the cross watching Jesus to the very end. Is that not service to God? The disciples were where? Other than John? Hiding. Hiding. So there's something, you know, there's something about a long-term commitment that we make to Christ, that we are going to go all the way with him. We're going to finish the race, right? We're going to go, even when it's somewhere dark and awful and terrible, we're going there with the Lord, are we not? Okay, two people, beautiful. So if I could just get the rest of the church to go along with this. Because in today's world, everything's instantaneous and temporary, is it not? You can change your cell phone carriers like a blink of an eye. You can get a different type of television show, stream this, stream that, change this, change that. People go through women and men sometimes in their relationships like they're changing their socks. What in the world? And sometimes when God isn't doing things our way, we sometimes turn away from God because it isn't going our way. But not us, right? Not these women. These are the first people. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna were also at the resurrection. See, even though they're at the cross, which was awful and terrible and painful and horrific for Jesus, they also were at the resurrection. So listen, folks, if you'll hang in long enough through your life journey, even though you go through dark times, even though you go tough times, even though God's calling you to do some difficult things, like maybe forgiving other people or hanging in there with someone else who's not exactly perfect as you are and just being there with them regardless and forgiving them. Long-term relationships. My first long-term relationship needs to be with God and Jesus Christ. And then I can have long-term relationship with my spouse. And then I can have long-term relationships with you. Okay, is that all right? Okay. Oh, well, all right. Someone go, oh, really? Oh, needless to say, we go from the darkness of that cross experience, that awful place, to death in that tomb. And guess what? If you hang in there all the way with Jesus, you come to the place of resurrection and victory. You cannot possibly get to that place of victory without going through some of the tough times. Am I right? And life can be tough, can it not? Awful, terrible, scary. But hang in there with God. Follow Jesus all the way, and you'll see the victory in the end. And some victories come along the way as well, right? Just imagine following Jesus all that way. Listening to him for three solid years, watching the miracles he performed. Their faith in him grew so much, that's how they were able to make it to the end. See, they didn't pay attention to the circumstances around them. They didn't pay attention to all the people saying Jesus was a crazy loon or that Jesus wasn't really anything and all the other things that they tried to come against. They believed. Why? Because Jesus touched them first, right? See, we all need that touch from God. And when you get that touch inside, you're never the same again, are you? And you're made whole and you're healed. And then you want to follow and listen and learn and grow in your spiritual journey and see the victories over and over. Most of the victories that these women actually and men actually saw were for other people a lot of the times, were they not? Yes. So it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you have or don't have. We're all here to support one another, are we not? And the calling of Christ on us. So I want to bring us to the book of Mark. As soon as I find my marker. There it is. Okay. See, sometimes, I don't know if you know this about yourself, but sometimes you're in the right place at the right time, right? You ever been in the right place at the right time? And you know that it is? You go, wow, that was a Godsident. And sometimes you think you're at the wrong place at the wrong time, right? Ever been at the wrong place, wrong time? Yes. And you think, this is awful. And this can't possibly be a godsend, right? Let's go to Mark chapter 15, verse 21. This is during Jesus' crucifixion. Mark 15, 21. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside. And the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. He just happened to be on his way to Jerusalem. He's from Cyrene, which is North Africa. He's come to Jerusalem for the Passover, because this all happened during Passover. He's coming to Jerusalem to celebrate. And he just so happens to come upon Jesus being led away with two criminals on the way to Golgotha to be crucified. Just so happened to be at the wrong place, wrong time, right? He was forced to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Interesting that Mark would add that. Well, there's a reason for that. The cross that Jesus was carrying was actually for Simon, Alexander, and Rufus, was it not? And for all the rest of us, correct? Simon was from Cyrene. There were many Jews that were there at that time, and he was coming into Jerusalem. Jesus had been battered and beaten and bruised, bleeding. Jesus, under the weight of that cross, couldn't carry it any longer. In his humanness, in that moment, he couldn't take another step. The Roman soldiers were not about to help a criminal like Jesus or the other criminals. The people yelling and screaming, crucify him, were certainly not going to pick up that cross and carry it for Jesus. And yet, under the weight of that cross, after being beaten and whipped as badly as he had, Simon of Cyrene shows up on the scene. Who's in need now? Jesus. Could you ever imagine that the Son of God, the Son of Man, would need another person to help him? Well, if you go back to when he prayed in Gethsemane and he prayed, take this cup from me, right after he prayed it three times and he said, not my will, but yours, the angels came and ministered to him. Guess who Simon of Cyrene was for Jesus in that very moment? An angel from God, an answer to prayer. Imagine picking up the bloodstained cross of Jesus Christ, putting it on your back, carrying it in front of this beaten, bloodied man. Carrying it as though you were a criminal too. Well, was Simon of Cyrene a criminal? A sinner? Jesus had said, pick up your own cross and follow after me, right? So that the self can be crucified. But more importantly, in this specific case, Simon helped Jesus. Imagine being able to do that. We see of anointings upon Jesus, people weeping at his feet, people praising and worshiping him. But who lifts up the cross of Christ? The man traveling just by coincidence. Oh, godsidence. Has to do something that probably was astounding and maybe scary for him. He didn't know what the Roman soldiers would do to him. But he saw a man in need, realizing perhaps, we don't know, is this that Jesus that I came to hear about so far away? Is he actually the lamb that's being slain when I came to this Passover meal? Is he the one that I read about in the Old Testament, all the prophecies, how he would take on our wounds and take away our sins? Is this that man? And what does Jesus do in this story, you suppose? He turns back to Simon and says, thank you. Thank you for lifting my load. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving to me, caring for me. More importantly, as you do for others, you're doing it to me. So Simon of Cyrene, in that moment, might have originally thought, oh no, what have I gotten myself into? What is God asking of me? And perhaps those children of his, Rufus and Alexander, also came to his mind. Am I going to die with this man too? And he thought about them, but I'm sure Jesus in that moment knew his heart, gave him that look that Jesus can only give, and gave the man peace. And I'm sure in that moment, Simon thought, wow, I'm helping the Son of God. What an honor. As dark as that time was, it was something that changed Simon's life forevermore. Why? Because when you read in the book of Romans and you read in the book of Corinthians, you're going to hear about Rufus and Alexander, two people that served the early church, all because his father, Simon, had carried the cross of Christ. Was that a godsend? Was it something wrong place, wrong time? Right place, right time, right? So I look at these stories of these people, insignificant names sometimes that we see. In fact, when back to Luke, when it says many others, they're not named. You are all the many others. We are all the many others that sometimes may never be famous and have our names listed in this Bible. Too late for that. Oh, except for the Cornerstonian chapter. But the story goes on, does it not? God sees in secret all the things that all of us and all of you do all the time for God. God sees and may use other times, even in darkness for you, that might not make any sense, for something to bring goodness and greatness to someone else. And lifting up Jesus himself, lifting up others, because that's what we're all called to do, right? So the Lord needs you. Do you understand that? The Lord wants you. The Lord needs you. We need you all. And you too on Facebook as well. And as we do for the least of these, our brothers and sisters, we're doing it for Jesus. You might not have been there at that cross to watch Jesus die for you, but you can envision it. And you can be grateful that you have that forgiveness of sins, can't you? We've all been healed of something, haven't we? And continuing to be healed of something, emotionally, spiritually, and otherwise, correct? And we all have something to give to God, don't we? Because guess what? You're in the right place at the right time. You came to the right church. When you want to serve God because of your gratefulness of how he changed and transformed your life, that he died for you and gave you eternal life, that you matter to God and no one can tell you otherwise, that even though you felt outcast, you're an incast here. You're somebody special to God and he's watching to see what you will do to support his ministry and all the works for all the people yet to know about him. You have an integral, important part of making other people find the love and joy and healing that comes through God, right? So the question I have for you, if you know that the Lord needs you, are you going to go all the way to help the Lord no matter what he asks? I got to hear it a little louder. My hearing's not so good. See, people that are changed, I don't know about you, but I can only speak for myself. When I knew that God loved me, regardless of what I've been through, who I am, what I've done, what I haven't done, and when other people tried to say I could not fit into God's kingdom, and Jesus showed me otherwise through his words on these pages, I'm such a grateful person for that. And you don't even want to know all the things he's healed me of. And don't you dare ask Becky. But the greatest thing he healed me from is lack of self-love, lack of self-esteem, lack of insignificance, because we're all significant to God. We all matter to God, and we are all needed by God. Anybody here got a donkey Jesus can borrow? Car that he can get into? You got some food that you can hand out to other people? You got some money of your wealth to share with others? You got a couple of pennies to throw into the offering sometimes? You got your time and your talents and your gift, and you've got you, your personality? And are you in the right place at the right time to be used by God so that other people can be saved and brought to eternal life and have a beautiful, awesome, magnificent eternity? And listen, you don't have to even give your life for him. You just have to give yourself to him. That's all he asks for. And all together, when somebody's hungry, we'll feed them. When somebody's thirsty, we'll give them something to drink. When someone needs clothing, we'll put clothing on their back. When somebody needs some school supplies, we'll supply them. When somebody needs forgiveness, we'll give it to them. When somebody needs love, we'll give it out in droves. When somebody needs hope, we'll give them hope. When somebody needs faith, we give them faith. When somebody needs trust, trust in God and in us, we'll give that to them as well, right? We will give of ourselves all the things that people need. Whatever you need, other people need it too. Do not people need to know how much God loves them? And the lies that are out there, do they need to hear the truth? Yes. And the truth is in the Word of God, is it not? Yes. So we're going to tell the truth. And the truth is, the Lord needs you. And he wants you. And we're so grateful that you're in this time, in this place. And even though in those dark times, you've got to carry the cross for somebody else, carry one another's burdens. And it gets pretty heavy sometimes. People are going through difficult, dark times sometimes. But we're here to help carry the load, are we not? Yes, we are. Yes, we do. The Lord needs you. And every time you serve another person, think of it this way. You're lifting the burden off Jesus too. When you forgive another person, that's giving him that thanks that he forgave us all too, right? By his wounds, we have been healed. And by his love, we have been saved. And by the grace of God, we are all a part of God's kingdom. And we're all going to go to the nth degree for all the days of our life, doing everything we can for God, correct? We'll be there through thick and thin together, will we not? But you know what? It doesn't happen with just one of us. It happens with all of us, right? So the Lord needs you. Keep that in mind. And I pray for a lot, zillions of God-cidents for all of you, so that you know when something happens, when you bless another person's life, and their life is better as a result, it was a God-cident. God put you there, right time, right place, because the Lord needs you. Amen.
Amen.